Hopefully I can keep you all awake as well. Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers, to those who are fathers in training, to those who are fathers in waiting. It's a great responsibility we have, isn't it, gentlemen, to be dads? And it's wonderful when we have the opportunity to see our young gentlemen that we've raised and trained to be fathers as well. So happy Father's Day. It was interesting, there's two songs that the team sang. And team, thank you. You did a great job this morning. Really appreciate every time you're up there and singing. There's two songs they sang this morning that kind of go along with what we're talking about this morning and actually this whole day. Pastor asked me if I would do all three messages today, and I'm going, okay. Let's see. It's been a while since I've had three in one day. So I was trying to think of, okay, what... where in Scripture that I can just stay with one passage of Scripture and really get some good stuff and bring it all together throughout the day, and especially with it being Father's Day. And, of course, the one that came to mind was the prodigal son, the parable of the lost son in Luke 15. If you turn to Luke 15 real quick. It starts out with the lost sheep, which is what they talked about. And then it goes to a lost coin, and it talked about a lost son. And in all three of these stories, something is lost, there's an all-out search, and then there's a celebration when the lost thing returns or is found. And we're going to look at the, first this morning, we're going to look at the son. Then at the 10:45 service, we're going to look at the dad and his attitude towards his son when he came home. And then we're going to look at the brother tonight. It's interesting how when every time I've heard this message preached, they stop when the son comes home. And they never talk about the brother. And it's an important part of the story, if you think about it. Storytellers throughout the whole world have said this is the best story that's ever been told, the story of the prodigal son. Because it has everything in it that a storyteller likes to tell. And why wouldn't it be the best story ever told? Because who told it? Jesus. And so we're going to look at this passage of Scripture, but before we do, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we do thank you for you being our dad and how much you love us and how much you're willing to leave everybody else to come and find that wayward one that is out there on their own doing their own thing. And Lord, we pray that as we look at this son, father, and brother, that we can understand what is going on here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just help us and just pick through the pieces and put them all together. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody have a GPS? Do you like them? Thank you. Thank you for being honest. First time we ever had a GPS, ever worked with a GPS, it was my mother-in-law's. And she wanted to turn it on here in Corey. And of course, we know Corey. So it's not that difficult for us to find how to get from our house to Route 77. And so she turns it on and she has the voice on, which is annoying in itself. I think they should have really cool voices for the voice instead of that voice they have. You know, Jack Bauer would be great. Wouldn't he?
That'd be cool.
You know, turn here! You know. And just so many other things. But it was just so annoying that we pulled out of our driveway and we wanted to go a different way, and it's telling you, turn around. Turn around. And we're saying, shut up. Shut up. And we get down to Pittsburgh because we were going to Pittsburgh for Kara's graduation. And we're going to the Pitt campus. Anybody know where the Pitt campus in Pittsburgh? It's over in Oakland, right? Okay. I knew where I was going. And this machine tells us to go to the airport. Those of you that know Pittsburgh, airport's over here. Oakland's over here. And then we get in the middle of Pittsburgh, and the whole thing shuts down. And we're just completely... well, they're completely lost. I know where I am. And I just say to them, turn here, turn here, turn here, get back here. And then once we get to where I knew we were supposed to be, which was up by the ice arena, I said, now you can turn that dumb thing back on and listen to it. And it got us to where we were supposed to go. But if you know where you're going, GPSs are annoying. But if you don't know where you're going, GPSs is probably one of the best things you've ever had, because it'll get you to where you're supposed to go. One of my daughters and I were going to a birthday party yesterday, and I knew where it was. And so I gave her my phone, which has a GPS on it, and said, okay, you're the navigator. Tell me where we're going. And we get to, it was in Elgin, and we get to Main Street, and she says, okay, turn left here. I said, no, we don't turn left here. We go up to the next street and turn left. No, it says turn left. I don't care what that thing says. I know where I'm going. And we got to where we're supposed to go, and everything was fine. And Sylvie asked me, did you find it? Yeah. Well, who was telling you where to go? Nardo was. And we almost got lost, but I knew where I was supposed to be, so. This young fellow in this story, and listen to the, we're going to read the story, read his portion of the story this morning. It says this, in Luke 15, verse 11, it says this. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the young son got together all he had and set off in a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he spent everything, there was a famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. We're going to stop right there. The son was on a road to rebellion. And this road to rebellion, it starts at the corner of selfishness and disobedience. If you look at this young man's life, he was being selfish. He thought only of himself, not of his father, not of what his father had done for him, not of the things that his dad was able to accomplish for him to have the money that he even had, but he was just thinking of himself. Dad, give me my inheritance. Now, this is selfish in itself, because for a young man to say to his father, give me my inheritance, that was wrong, because his dad wasn't even dead yet. And he couldn't wait for his father to be dead in order to get the money that he wanted. And so that shows me there that he was being a very selfish young man. So this road to rebellion starts with selfishness, at the corner of selfishness and disobedience. And in Proverbs 18 and verse 1, we read these words. It says this, an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgments starts quarrels. Now I'm sure that Dad had given him some sound advice when he was asking for that money, and started to talk to him about it. But he was just so consumed with having this money and doing what he wanted to do with it that he didn't think about what it would do to his dad or what it would do to his future. All he was thinking about was right then and there. And that's what selfishness is. You think of yourself and you think of only in the moment. What can I get right now with this thing that I'm going to get? And so rebellion starts at the corner of selfishness and disobedience. And disobedience, in Hebrews 2:2, it says this, for since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation, disobedience, and they received its just punishment. When we are disobedient, in whatever situation we are in, I remember one time I was driving in Boston, it was actually in Foxborough, And I was driving down, and we were at a camp meeting, and my wife says, "I'm hungry. Can you go down to Taco Bell and get me something to eat?" You know, and as a good, wonderful, loving husband, I go, "Sure." You know, so I get in the car and I drive down the road, and all of a sudden these nice, pretty lights are in the back rear window of my car. And so I pull over, and to tell you the rest of the story, the day before that, or 2 days before that, there was a police officer that was shot in a pullover, when they pulled over a car. And so he pulls me over, and he's got his flashlight in my eyes, and he says, "Sir, do you know why I pulled you over?" And of course, like a dummy, I go, "Yeah," which you're not supposed to do, but I told him anyways, "Yeah, probably because I might have been going too fast, I don't know." He said, "Do you know what the posted speed limit is?" I go, "I don't know." You know, I didn't know what it was. He says, "Well, it's 35. And he says, I clocked you at 55. Well, Taco Bell was closing, so I had to get back, you know, to the facility. That was the reason why I was speeding. He didn't buy it. But he says, "I need to see your license and registration." So I said, "Well, the license and registration is under the seat. So I have to reach under the seat to get the license and registration." He says, "Okay." So he flashes his flashlight down and says, because he doesn't want to get shot. I don't want to get shot either. So I reach and grab it and give it to him. And because of my disobedience to the law, whether I knew what it was or not, I got pulled over by the police officer. Now, the good news is I didn't get a ticket. He was very gracious to me and let me go, gave me a warning. And I want you to know that I drove 30 miles an hour from the rest of the way to Taco Bell all the way back to the hotel. Sylvia says, "What took so long?" And I had to tell her. But the road to rebellion starts with selfishness at the corner of selfishness and disobedience. This young man in the story was disobedient to his father and was selfish in his own ambitions. And he ended up not listening to sound judgment, not listening to the sound judgment of his father. Aren't we like that with God sometimes? Where God says to us, "I want you to go this way." And in our selfish own ways, in our own disobedience, we say to God, "I don't want to listen to you. You don't know what you're talking about. You have no idea what I want to do." And we go on our own way. And God, in His gracious and love and support, says, "Okay, go ahead." And so the road to rebellion starts with selfish, or at the corner, begins at the corner of selfishness and disobedience. And then we take a right turn in the temporal lane. And we stay there until it robs of all of our dignity. Where do we find that in this story? Well, we look down here. And it says this, not long after that, verse 13, not long after that, the young son got together all he had and set off in a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So we see that this temporal lane, temporal meaning temporary pleasures, temporary goodness, temporary happiness that we receive when we do this disobedience and this selfishness, that we turn our backs from God and turn our backs from what He wants us to do. And we find this temporal joy and pleasure. And the young man did that, didn't he? When he went away, he found all of this fun stuff with all this money. And he got to do all this stuff that he always wanted to do. You know, in today's society, you probably had this huge plasma screen TV and all the latest video games and all the booze and all the drugs and all the women that he could possibly want and all the friends that he could possibly want. And that temporary pleasure that he received in that moment did not last. How many of us, when we start off at the corner of selfishness and disobedience and we get into temporal pleasures, in the corner of temporal pleasures, that we get to this point where we say, you know what? This is great. This is wonderful. This is what I've always wanted to do. But it's only short-lived, isn't it? We get to that point where we say, wow, this is great. And then the reality of it steps in. And in Proverbs 21, in verse 17, we read these words. It says this, whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. And in 2 Peter 13, we read these words, and they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, revealing in their pleasures while they feast with you. So both of those verses of Scripture tell us that our pleasures lead us nowhere. They rob us of our joy. They rob us of those things that God wants us to have. The son, if he was with the dad, would have so much stuff that he would be able to enjoy and to find pleasure with. But the problem with going down the temporal lane is we end up in Consequences Corner. Make a left on the Consequences Corner. And we stay there until we learn our lesson. The consequences of me speeding was the possibility of getting a ticket. The other consequence was me going back and telling my wife that I got pulled over for speeding after I gave her her stuff from Taco Bell. I figured I'd sweeten it a little bit to help that out. But there are consequences that this young man sees. He ends up working in the country feeding pigs. And for a Jewish young man, that was a bad thing. That was not something that you would say, you would write home in your Facebook page and say, guess what? Got a job feeding pigs. Isn't this great? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't text it. You wouldn't do anything like that. You would just not even let them know that you were doing that. He probably wouldn't even have the money to have Facebook or a computer. But he was hired out by a citizen to feed pigs. And the Bible tells us that the consequences were so great in his life that he got so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that the pigs ate. How many of us in our lives, when we decided to disobey God and we decided to be selfish and we decided to go into that temporal thing, that temporary joy and that temporary happiness that we would have for only a moment, and then we go into the consequences and we realize what those consequences were. We realized how much we really did not really want to go into that temporal pleasure that we were in. And we shouldn't have gone into that temporal pleasure. We stay in the consequences until we learn our lesson. Until we learn why what we need to accomplish. And in Ezekiel 23:35 says this, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, since you have forgotten me and turned your back on me, you must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. Ezekiel 44:10 says this, the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray and who wandered far from me after their idols must bear the consequences of their sins. When we turn our backs from God and we go down this road of rebellion, and we leave him because of selfishness and disobedience, we're going to face the consequences. We say to our kids all the time, dads, right? If you do this, then this is going to happen. God's no different. When God says to us, if you do this, then this is the consequence to that action. And he only does it because he wants us to learn. Anytime we our kids do something wrong and then they face the consequences, we ask them a simple question. What did you learn from it? And we pray and we hope they don't say not to get caught. Because that's not what we want them to learn. We want them to learn why they shouldn't have done what they did. And God does the same thing with us. When we face the consequences that He has for us and that we face when we go down this temporal pleasure and this temporal road, He wants us to learn from it so that we can benefit from it and so that we can say to somebody else, I know where you're going and this is not a good place because I've been there. And I want you to tell you that God has something better for you. It's why we face those consequences that God does. And this is my favorite verse in the whole story of the young man. It says this in verse 17. What does it say? Say it with me. When he came to his senses. When he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. We're going to stop there. After we go on to the consequences court, then we turn into Repentance Boulevard. And we turn there and we receive the repentance that God wants us to have. We realize what we've done is wrong. And then we move towards the right direction into going into where God wants us to be. 2 Corinthians 7:9 says this, yet now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so you were not harmed in any way by us. And in Hebrews 6:6 we read this word, and who have fallen away to you brought back to repentance. To their loss they are crucified with the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. When we go down that temporal road and when we do those things that bring short pleasure to us, we embarrass God. And we embarrass His kingdom. The young man embarrassed his father. How many of his father's friends had gone to that city and seen him feeding pigs? How many of his father's servants had gone to that city and seen him feeding pigs? How many times have we in our lives, because we decided to be disobedient and be selfish in our own ways and go down that temporal road, have embarrassed God? But God says that all I want you to do is come back to me and say you're sorry. There's a song that Sylvia sings a lot, and she says, it goes, and God ran to me and took me in his arms and held me close. And that's what God wants to do with us. When we go down this road of disobedience, this road of rebellion, He wants us to repent. He wants us to say we're sorry. My favorite verse in the story of the young man is this, when he came to his senses. How many of you in this room today came to your senses with God? When you were going down that road of rebellion, how many of you came to your senses with God? Say, God, I can't do this anymore. This is not where you want me to be. And you repented and you came back to God. That's what happened with this young man. And that's what God wants in us. That we face the consequences and then we get to repentance. And then it leads us down to this one-way street called forgiveness. And we see that when he goes back to his dad. And we're going to go over this again later on, but it says this in verse 20. So then he got up and went to his father. That's the repentance. He got up and went to his father. When we come to the point in our lives where we say, God, I've done a lot of dumb things, and we get up and we go to God. And then this is what God does. Continuing in verse 20, it says this, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Remember what the young man looked like Remember what he smelled like. And yet his father ran to him, threw his arms around him and kissed them and welcomed them back. That is the most beautiful picture of what God does for us. He gives us forgiveness. When we come to the point in our lives where we have been disobedient and we have been selfish and we do that as temporal pleasures and we come to our senses and then we ask God for forgiveness and we run to, and He runs to us and He gives us that forgiveness. Acts 26 says this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and be placed among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And Psalms 130 verse 4 says this, but with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. God wants to give us forgiveness. Why? Because He wants us to become part of that family again. He wants us to be His child. The one thing that gets me with this dad more than anything else is, you know, in the rest of the stories, in the story of the lost sheep and the story of the lost coin, there was an all-out search for those lost items. For the lost sheep, the shepherd lost the 99 to go find the one, and he never stopped. The woman who lost her coin, she swept the floor to find it. She didn't stop till she found the coin. And you can't tell me that dad never stopped searching for his son. Through prayer, through when one of his servants went to the city, did you see my son? How's he doing? To some of his friends, did you see my boy? What's he look like? What condition is he in? Is he okay? God does the same thing with us. When we're in that wayward lifestyle that we live, that we're in, that temporal pleasure, that time in our lives where we say to God, I don't need you anymore. He still is searching for us. He still is looking for us and wanting us to come back home. This young man, when he got on that road to rebellion, which started with disobedience and started with selfishness and ended with forgiveness. How many in this room have gone down that road? Just think about it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. I just think about it. How many of you have gone down that road? And how many of you have received the forgiveness that God has given to all of us when we say, God, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Please forgive me and take me back as your son. And the amazing thing about God is He does it. And the Bible tells us that our sins are tossed in the sea of forgetfulness and He remembers them no more. And that's a good thing for some of us, isn't it? What we learn from the young man is this, that even though we embarrass our Father, our Heavenly Father, and we go down this road that is called rebellion, and we face the consequences that God has given to us, God is still willing to forgive us and take us back to be His Son. And that's a great thing. And I pray and I hope this morning that those of you that are in this room, even though you've gone down that road of rebellion, that you've taken an opportunity to ask for God's forgiveness and to move forward. I'm going to have you stand for a moment. I'm going to have you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm going to ask that there's somebody here who's going down that road to rebellion, and you would like today to come and meet your Heavenly Father and to have your Heavenly Father come and run to you and put His arms around you. I want you to raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you. If you're running down that road to rebellion, I want to see your hand. We'll pray for you. Okay. Father, we just want to take this opportunity to thank you for this example of this young man who went down this road to rebellion, got stuck in a temporal place of pleasure, ended up in consequences, decided that this isn't where it is, and came to his senses and asked and repented, and then was able to receive the forgiveness that his father was able to give to him. And Father, we pray that those moments where we go into those times of rebellion and we become selfish and disobedient to you and we run into that temporal pleasure, we pray that we come to our senses enough during those consequences that we say, God, I need you again. Please forgive me. And Lord, we know because your word clearly says that you will forgive us. And we praise you for that. And so now, Lord, we pray that you'll just bless all of us and help us as fathers to be good fathers and help us all in this room to be good children of yours and not to embarrass you with our actions and with the things that we do. And we're just going to praise you for that. We thank you for that. We pray that you'll just bless all who are here as we go into Sunday school and later services and just allow us to have a great day today in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me a moment to get to the back and I'll greet you.